precious. Hallelujah. I love that song. That's a beautiful, beautiful song. Amen. Amen. All right, take your Bibles with us this evening. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 this evening. Trying to get all my notes spread out up here. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at something. It's not been that long ago. I didn't go back and look. But we spent several weeks looking at Christ. And tonight's going to be just a recapper of a lot of that. We're not going to dive near as in depth. But there's two main things I want you to understand tonight. And the purpose of us doing this is, you know, when it comes to the name of Jesus, again, the word God is pretty generic when it comes to our world. When you mention the name of Christ, when you mention Jesus, most of your cults of the day, they will acknowledge that there was a human named Jesus Christ. They'll say he's a good man, a prophet, those kind of things. And our whole purpose in what we're doing on Sunday night is to try to help us to be able to help others when it comes to talking to people about the Lord. And we've looked at the fact of the depravity of man. And, you know, you got to get people to see that we need help. I'm not talking about a social help. I'm not talking about anything of that nature. We are lost. And people need to understand that the reason they are lost, it's not what they've done. They were born that way. And, you know, it's hard to get people to see when you look at a pretty little baby, and we've got some precious ones around and some more to come. Hope we have more. That's a good way to build a church is have babies, amen? And so y'all just go ahead and have 10 or 15 more. We've got ours grown. We're good. So, but no, it's hard to look in the eyes of a little baby. I mean, man, they're precious. I can't imagine how anybody could ever hurt a little baby, but I know what happens. I've seen it too many times. But even when you look at that little baby, though, I know that there's a sin nature in that baby. It was born a sinner. Now, I do know, I believe that we can look, and I don't know when that age is. Now, don't try to debate me when that age is, because you don't know either. But I believe that if a baby dies without, you know, before it comes to that place of a knowledge of sin, I believe it's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not what we're teaching tonight, but it's be a good thing to go look at. But there is a place and time that every person comes to acknowledgement that there's something wrong with them. I had a great uncle. He wasn't supposed to live to be very old, but he lived to be up in his 50s. At 50-some years old, I guess he might have been 60 when he died, he still slept in a baby's bed. And my two great aunts, never married, twin great aunts, they cared for him every day just like he was a baby. Fed him, clothed him, washed him. He was just mentally, you know, something was wrong with him. I don't know what exactly the terminology would be. But I thought, buddy, when he died, there's a 60-some-year-old man, I guess, that had the mind of a baby. He went to heaven, I believe, because he never understood anything when it come to the things of this world. And so there's blessed hope there. But we looked at the depravity of man. And if we're going to help people, and it helps you, it helps me to understand that thought of the depravity of man, we look at the Word of God. That's where our basis is. I don't want to debate people on what I think or, you know, my opinion. I want proof. And some things, even though we're saying, well, the Bible says, nowadays people don't have much use, you know, that don't carry a lot of weight in most people, but it still does for me. And I still believe that's where only truth is found is in this book. And so we looked at the truth, and we've looked at who God was. And again, that's a big question. Who's God? And so we talked about a little bit about that. He is that great creator. He is that all supreme being. And we don't want to take God. I can't bring him down to our level. I don't even want to try. His thoughts and his ways are so much higher than mine are and always will be on this side of eternity. But so we looked at that. But tonight we're going to start looking at something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you talk to people, how important is it to show somebody Christ? It's the main purpose. Why? Because there's no name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. It's Jesus. There's only one way. They can know God and not know Jesus and go to hell. Now, that's a broad statement. because I hope you know, you can't separate God and Jesus. We're going to look at some of those things. But look with me, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Let's stand together. We'll read this. We'll pray and let you be seated. Appreciate the good songs, good spirit this evening. I desire your prayers tonight that God would help me. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 16, it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And there you go. That's pretty much the mind today. You ask somebody what Jesus is, who Jesus is, you're going to get a lot of ballpark answers. Verse 15, he says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And this is what I want you to understand. If you're going to, listen, I got saved when I was 13 years old. I'm going to be, how old am I? Be 40-something this year, 44, 5, something like that, 45, I think. It's amazing how you forget those things the older we get. So I've been saved a while. When I got saved, I didn't have a clue. I really didn't. I just knew that I didn't want to go to hell. I knew that God had spoke to me and showed me and offered me a way out through him, and I accepted it, plain and simple. Maybe you knew a lot more than I did, but I didn't know anything. But since that time till now, I have began to know more about him, to see more about who he is and what he did. And when it comes to being a help to people, to be a disciple, to help people, to disciple people, when you're talking to somebody, if we say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, we've got to tell them, show them who Jesus is. And the question is, who is Jesus to you? Not some, let's pull our website up and get our doctrinal statement. We can do that. We have one. You can memorize it. But that's just pure garbage of wordage, if that's a lot of useless, you know, vocabulary. But when you can say, I know in whom I have believed. That little word, whom, I like that. That's what Paul said over there in 2 Timothy. I know in whom. That's Jesus. That's the whom of that. So he saith unto them, verse 15, but whom, there it is, say ye that I am. And here comes Simon. And Simon Peter answered, saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, we're going to talk just a little bit tonight. We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to run a couple things tonight. Peter answered correctly. Agree? Now, I can teach you to say that. I can teach you that. I told my boss at Freightliner, I could teach a monkey how to do what I did. I can surely teach you how to say thou art the Son of God. But it's not about just saying that that's the answer. Jesus looked right back at Peter and said, flesh and blood didn't teach you that. And tonight, if we're going to be able to understand how it helped us to be able to help somebody else, we've got to understand it's not about A, B, C, D, and E. It's about a relationship that you are in with the Lord himself. Again, look what he said, Peter. He said, Jesus answered and said, verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Tonight, if we want, and again, preacher, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen! Hallelujah! Glory! All right, we know that. If that's true, and it is, how do we talk to people? How do we work with people? How do we reach out to people and let them see this is who Jesus is? If Jesus is what they need, who is he? That's the place that we need to get comfortable in telling people about the Lord. And again, don't be ashamed of that name. Don't be ashamed of who he is. He's not, you know, look, he stands by me, amen. I'd be ashamed to stand by me sometimes. But he just stands there as we look this morning. But we're going to look at who Christ is and the doctrinal part of that a little bit. So let's pray and let you be seated. Father, I sure love you. I sure thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, this truth. And God, I've tried to get my mind wrapped around once again, God, just the notes and the thought. And God, I can't teach this. I can't show this in verbiage. But God, I want my life to testify this. I want my walk every day. I want my talk every day. I want my being that people can see for me to live is Christ. And God, I want people to see Christ in me and through me. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight as, Lord, I want us to be a help to people. God, we're going to start really thinking about compassion over the next few weeks and months. And God, how it does make a difference. And God, I even think about, Lord, the bulletin or the missions conference flyer, and God, a picture of those hands touching another hand, how it holds. God, I'm thankful over the years there's been some people that's come along beside of me and reached out and held my hand. God, they comfort me. They strengthen me. And Lord, as much as that meant to me, Lord, I know that every day of my life, God, you're there holding me and taking care of me. And Lord, I want other people, God, to have what I've got. I want other people to know there is a firm foundation. There is a rock. There is a stability in this old wicked wild world. And God, it's you. Lord, I thank you for the church here. Thank you, Lord, for how you bless and how you're working. And God, help us, Lord, just to draw closer to you individually and as a whole. And we'll thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, Jesus asked that question, who do men say that I am? And then he asked them, who do they say that he is? So we're going to look at that fact, thought just a little bit this evening. And let me just give you some verbiage tonight. And you know these things. But who is Jesus Christ? You can run scriptures tonight, and these are things the Bible will say who he is. The two main ones that I want to back up to, and I believe this is where I want to draw our minds to, and I'll give you those things. Who is Jesus? The two main things, and I got a lot of different things tonight I'll show you scripture, who the Bible says he is or what he is. The two main things is Jesus Christ is 100% God. You believe that? All right. If he's 100% God, then is he also 100% man? Now, wait a minute. How can you be 100% of one thing and 100% of another thing? Those are things people are going to ask you. How can he be God and how can he be man? Now, let me ask this puzzling question that most people don't ever think about. Why? That was actually on a psychology test I took one time. One test question, midterm, I think it was midterm or final. One question on the whole test. The question was why. Great answers came out of that. The correct answer is why not? If you ever get questioned, but that's not nothing to do with this. But why is the Lord Jesus Christ 100% God but also 100% man? Why? There is a reasoning for that. But do we know that? Those are the places that you and I, when we begin to talk to our loved ones, when we begin to sit around the table, and boy, we need more of that, to sit around and just talk about the Bible, talk about the things of the Lord, those are things that we need to be able to convey to them of why the Lord did what the Lord did. Why did God send his only begotten Son? We quote that verse, but why? And so we're going to see God as 100% God, or Jesus as 100% God, and he is. Biblically speaking, the Lord says that him and God are one. But he's also man. He was flesh. And we'll see those verses. But I want you to not really concentrate on the fact that, yeah, he's 100% God and he's 100% man. But why is he that way? So we'll see that in just a minute. So those are two things. He is the Son of Man. He is the eternal Word. He is the Savior. He's the promised Messiah. He is the co-equal deity of God, the Father. He's the one that came from earth to heaven. He is that I am. He's that pre-existing one, that all-eternal one. He's the bread of life. He is the almighty creator. He's the light of the world. He's that authority in heaven and earth. He's the Lord over all. He's the Lamb of God. He's a teacher, master, Lord. He's the one who shed his blood, of course, on Calvary for forgiveness of sin. He's the one who heals sick bodies. He's the one who baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's the author and giver of eternal life. He's the only one way to God, to the Father. He's the one who rose from the dead. He's the one seated at God's right hand. He's the one that will sit and judge. And it goes on and on and on. You can run through the Bible and find all kinds of things that tells you who the Lord is. But the thing that I want us to see tonight is He is 100% God, and He is also 100% man. We're going to turn to some scripture tonight, so just go with us if you will. Look with me in 1 Timothy real quickly. First Timothy, and again, I want you to want to learn. I'm not saying I'm the greatest teacher. I'm not saying that by no means. But I don't think anybody can teach us this. I think the only person that can teach us this is the teacher himself, which is Lord. Me and Brother David, we were talking this afternoon about some things, and we got to think about over there with Nicodemus, and it's a true statement. You know, Nicodemus was questioning. Nicodemus was wanting to know something, and the Lord's like, you can't understand physical things. How are you going to understand spiritual things? And He uses that great example. Everybody in here knows that the wind blows. Is that okay with everybody? Everybody's all right with it? The wind blows. All right? Where's it come from? Where's it going? We don't know. And that's some of the great part about it, is we don't know. We just know it is. And there's a lot of things when it comes to, listen, don't run yourself crazy trying to wrap your whole being around this thing to dot all the I's and cross the T's and think that you're going to get I got it. Because as soon as you think you got it, you probably lose it. But when you get to the point, just as He is telling Nicodemus, yeah, the wind's blowing. I don't understand how it all works. I just know it's blowing. I can't tell you. I mean, I know, anybody here believe of a Trinity? Anybody believe the Trinity? Amen. Come on, I'm asking a question. Help me out. Anybody believe in a Trinity? Show me that in the Bible, would you? Anybody find that word? It's not in there. Then how do you believe it? Don't get yourself. The key to understanding, to being able to tell somebody who Jesus is to know Him personally, intimately, every day, in and out. Man, we're 24 years into this thing in October. We have evolved. I believe in evolution when it comes to this. We have evolved, man. We don't even talk, hardly. We do this mental synopsis, something or another. You know, I don't even talk. She just knows what I'm thinking. That's scary, ain't it? Why? We've been around so much together. She knows my every thought, being, I mean, and that's great. I don't have a problem with that. But how did, it wasn't like that when I met her. I was scared to death. I didn't know nothing about her. Took me forever to remember how to spell her name. I'm not lying. I'm just giggling, but I got two children. But I couldn't tell you right now. I bet you, I could tell you the month and day they were born, but I bet I'd have to really think about the year they were born right now. Preacher, that's pretty sad. It is. But that just shows how this mind is. But I know those are my two children. I was there when we found them in the rock. I was there. No. I went to the pound. No. Where's Carrie? There she is. No, but, you know, I know that. But I'm saying, now y'all probably say, oh, look at that. You holding that cute little baby. I have yet to see a baby that was born that was cute at birth. You can say whatever you want to say. There's just nothing cute about a sack of skin and bones and pink and white and nasty looking skin and all that. I just see nothing cute about that. Now they get better as the day goes on, you know. But I held my babies. And I knew that was my baby. I even helped name it. That's going to be Carrie Danielle. I can't even spell her middle name. I don't ever spell it, so I have to ask her, how do you spell your middle name? That's Carrie Danielle White. She was born on April the 23rd, 1996. Got it right. But you know, I knew that was her. But almost 18 years ago when I held her, I know a whole lot more about her right now than I did that day. Same person. I've lived with her. I've talked with her. I've listened to her. I've watched her. Well, what about the Lord? I got saved. He knew my name before I got saved. He knew all about me. I didn't know anything about him. I just knew he was the one that picked me up. Think about that blind man that the Lord gave the sight back to. Mom and Dad says, ask him. He's old enough to tell you. He says, all I know is I was lost. I was blind. Now I can see. And that's the man that did it. Now, when it comes to knowing the Lord, that's the place that you and I ought to have a desire to run to. Me and Brother David, Paul said that I may know him. That's what he said over in Philippians, that I may know him. Paul had a desire to really want to know him. But then the amazing thing is, I told Brother David, you go back over there to 2 Timothy, he says, I know whom I have believed in. I still don't know him as much as I want to know him. But the longer I'm in this thing, the more I see that I don't know, the more that I understand that I want to know. And then when I do see some things, I think, boy, that was something, so I'll see more. It never ends. It's like I told David, we had a little Dachshund dog years ago. That rascal was the funniest thing to watch. He'd sit there and run around and around and around and around, chasing his tail. Ever seen a dog do that? That's how I feel like sometimes. I just run around, 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 just chasing my tail. Can't ever really figure this thing out. But just because I don't know all the I's and crossings of the T's of it, when he's here, I know he's here. And when he speaks, I know it's him that's speaking. I've learned of him. That's the place when it comes to who is Jesus. We must be able to, not with verbiage, and I think that's where we lose sight of in witnessing to people, is through verbiage. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Romans Road. It gives you some confidence with scriptures. But the best way to witness to people is letting people see that Christ that's in you come out of you. So we're going to see, I know he's a teacher. He's teaching me. I know he is that bread. I know he is that shepherd. I know all those things. I've seen those in action. But it all boils back down to the fact that he's 100% God, and he's also 100% man. My question to you, as I said earlier, is why is that such an importance to be able to understand that? Because that's the key to salvation. He is 100% God. He's pure, perfect. But he also became a man to be able to be that sacrifice, to pay a payment for sin that mankind could not pay. So he is God, but he's also man. So those are the things that I want you to see tonight. Look with me here, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, for there is one God. Now, time out. How many gods are there? There's only one true God. There's all kinds of little g's. You got to be real careful when you talk to people about God. people today, especially with all the melting pot that America has become, there's all kinds of beliefs. But the Bible says there's only one God. And also there's only one mediator between God and men. The what? Man, Christ Jesus. Now isn't that a funny verse? We said that Jesus was 100% God. Did we say that? And the Bible says there's only one God. Did it say that? Then we see there's one mediator. What is a mediator? That's that go-between. Between God, which is only one, and man. The man, that's what it says, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, we see that Jesus Christ is 100% God. Look with me over the book of John. You can run John round and round and round on that thought of God, the deity of Christ. John is a great book to run to on that thought of the deity of Christ. Run over to John chapter 10. Let me throw this out there. When you look at the two sides of Christ, the God side of it and the humanity side of it, be very careful. A lot of your new Bibles draw this. A lot of your modern thinkers will say this. Don't do this. How many of you believe in the virgin birth? I hope everybody in here raises your hand. If you don't, we need to talk. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of that virgin womb. We know that. That was prophesied. It was done. That's how Jesus Christ got here. Why? Why did he come that way? He could not come through the seed of man. Why? Because that seed was corrupt. Where? Genesis chapter 3. So, you've got to keep all those things in your context. But when you look at Christ, Jesus had a physical mother. Right? Who was she? Mary. Now, we know where the Catholics run through that. Some of you that come out of Catholicism could tell me a lot of things that I don't know. But we know that Catholicism runs to the thought of Mary as that mediator. And we just saw that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they run to Mary as that intersection there. And Mary was just a woman, but she was that chosen woman that God used to bring into possession or that thought of where the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene. So on the physical side of Christ, we see the humanity side of Christ through his what? Mother. Mary was eventually married to who? Joseph. Joseph is not. Is not. Don't go there. And the scriptures will show you this. Joseph is not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to nail these things down. And again, it's not, no. Peter, you said the right thing, but flesh and blood didn't show you that. Tonight, let God show you these things. So you got the humanity side of Christ, but then you got the spiritual side of Christ. And here we see the womb of Mary producing the humanity side of Christ, but we see God the Father through the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost over Mary to birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see God is Jesus's the Father. Wait a minute. So does that make Jesus less than God? No. Because Jesus and God are one. Now that gets real scrambly if you start running that around in your little brain every once in a while. But the key fact is that God, the Lord is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. Look over here in John. I quit turning my Bible to talk, so let me get there myself. Look over in John chapter 1. Again, the book of John, boy, you can dig a lot out of this one book here on this thought. I got to hurry. Look at John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God. Now, we talked about this when we looked at God. This shows that there was a beginning, right? A beginning to what? A beginning to God? No, God's always been. But in the beginning of what? Us. In the beginning of this creation was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is that? That's Jesus. So, in the beginning, we see the Word was with God, and He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Let's read this a little bit further. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, there we go. We see Christ, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God are one. He was there with God, and He is God. So they're cohabitating there. So we see that. Look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look over in verse number 30. John chapter 10, look in verse number 30. I and my Father are one. So again, Jesus Christ is 100% God. Look over in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read several verses here just so you can see it. Hebrews chapter 1, look with me. It said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son? This day I have begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministries a flame of his fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with all the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid foundations of the earth and the heavens and the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and the years shall not fail. But to which of the angels at any time sit on the right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And so much, again, a lot of verbiage if you want to look at just the wording. But when you look at the context of what we see here, we see how, again, we see God, we see the thought of Christ, but we see that they are one. So, again, God is 100%, or Jesus is 100% God. And there's all kinds of scriptures that we could run to tonight. So we see that the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And I hope tonight that's not a debatable thing. How do you know that? Oh, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. And I hope tonight that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is more than just a man, but He is a man. He's God-man. He's as much God, he's 100% God, but he's 100% man. You ever think about Christ and the fleshly side of him and how he walked and talked? And he hungered. Several times throughout the New Testament, we see what the Bible would say, that he hungered. He slept. So there's that double side of this thing. So he is 100% God, and that's the one side of that payment, because he had to be that perfect seed. Back over in Genesis chapter 3, that seed that was going to be born of a woman that was going to bruise the head of the serpent. So we see that. But also tonight, we need to understand that Christ is also 100% man. And we look back over there to Genesis chapter 3 again, talks about that seed. We won't take time to run over there. Look in Isaiah chapter 7 real quickly. We know these verses, but I want you to see them just quickly. Won't take long. Isaiah chapter 7. I gotta get there myself. He was prophesied. Look in verse chapter 7. Look at verse number 14. Wrong place. Isaiah 7. Look with me. Verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And again, we know Emmanuel because of what the Bible tells us in Matthew. It means God with us. So a virgin, of course, Mary, was going to conceive and bear a son, and that son was Jesus, and that his name was going to be called Emmanuel, and that's God with us. So we see that he was born of a woman. He was born a man. So we know those things. Let me run some scriptures with you real quickly. Look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark's a great book of the Gospels to see the humanity side of Christ. Mark chapter 1, look in verse number 1. It says, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what? The Son of God. That's who he was. He was born the Son of God. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 11. It says, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. That's who he is. He was born the Son of God. And it goes on and on and on. I don't have time to go through all the verses tonight. But we know that according to the Gospels, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he took on that robe of flesh. Why? He came into his own received him not. Why? He came as a man. And we must understand, we must get a hold of the fact that, yes, Jesus is God. But he's also man. Doesn't it make you, when the Bible tells us there's no temptation given unto man, and I can't quote the rest of that verse off the top of my head right now, but just think about that, the verbiage of that. Why? Because Christ in himself, when you go look at when the devil took Christ out and was out in the wilderness, when he was tempted the devil those three times, that's the temptation. Every temptation we see dealing with the eyes and the pride of life and that thought, everything that will ever be tempted with, Christ has already experienced that. That's the fleshly side of who Christ is. But he was without sin. That's the 100% God of it. So when I look at who Jesus is, as the question was asked, who do you say Jesus is? I see him as that 100% God. But then I also see him in that compassionate side of 100% man, that he walked upon this earth. He had those troubles. He had those trials. He had those times. He is that high priest that knows our infirmities. So when you think about, when we talk about talking to people about who the Lord is, get it to the place where it's not just point A, point B, point C. And again, you ought to know verses. Verses back up, not what we think, but what the Bible says. But those verses ought to be more to us when we can say them because we know them in the thought of an intimate relationship with the person we're talking about. Again, Paul said over in 2 Timothy, I know in whom I have believed. He's a whom to me. To a lot of people tonight, they know him only by name. They've been taught to know point A, point B, point C, and all the things that go with it. But I like, you ever talk to somebody that's compassionate about something? That's, you know, it could be my grandpa, I'll use him. My grandpa could tell you everything that you'd ever even think you'd want to know about cows. Now, he wasn't a biologist. He wasn't a science guy. But he'd worked so much with cows, he could tell you what a cow was doing, when it was doing it, and why it was doing it. Folks around our neck of the woods, when we had dairy cows, you didn't call a vet. My grandpa was the vet. I've been many a days with my grandpa to other folks' farms, helping them give medicines and work on cows because he knew cows, and people knew he knew cows. He was compassionate. My grandma used to joke about how that he was afraid that he was going to leave her to go live with the cows. I mean, the cows, it's sort of that joke that I use about Melvin. That was my grandpa. He thought more of the cows, I believe, sometimes than he did anybody else. But he was compassionate about what he did. And when he talked to you about it, he just didn't give you verbiage. He gave you personal testimony of what it was. That could be, I've met people that's that way with sports, with guns, with whatever. I mean, they're so eat up with it that, man, it's just like breathing to them. That's how much they know about it. And it's not that they've sat there and dived into a book and got all the statistics and all that, but they've got a desire in them to know it, and it's just so fresh to them. That's the way that I want to be. That's the way I want us as a church to be. When we're ministering to people and discipling the people about, I don't want people to be a good Baptist. I don't know what that is. I don't want people to be a Baptist. That's not my desire. You know what I want them to be? A child of the King. I want them to know Jesus. Now, I'm a Baptist. We're not going to take Baptists off our name and become a non-denominational. We're not going to do that. But I want people to know Christ. And that's the place that I can't teach you that, but God can give us that. Peter, you said it right, but flesh and blood didn't show it to you. Tonight, would you let the Lord show you more of who he is? Let's stand together this evening.